Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show. I am Emmy Louie. Today's topic is bamboo, the untapped uses of bamboo in the Western world. And you might be thinking, why am I talking about bamboo so much? Green building, green home building, and all that entire genre is a very popular topic nowadays. And I've singled out bamboo amongst the other different materials that we have as our way of using green building. There is other types such as adobe, rammed earth, straw bale, recycled materials. And then there's bamboo. Now bamboo stands out differently from all these other materials that I was telling you about with the green materials, is that if you just isolate just the tensile strength alone and its natural inherent beauty of it, bamboo far is much different than all the other green building materials. And that's why I'm here to talk about bamboo, because one of my goals and my dreams is to make sure that in 10 years or in the near future that bamboo is able to be used and to be purchased at somewhere such as Home Depot, and that it would eventually replace stud walls. And that's where we're heading to because of just the statistics on how our rate of deforestation in the world is happening. So what I'm going to talk to you about is, what is bamboo, the harvesting times of bamboo, the growth qualities of it, some of the misconceptions that people have about bamboo, how it compares with regular timber, how bamboo cleans the air. And a particular topic that I'm very interested in is bamboo timber, bamboo used in its natural state for structural purposes, as well as some of the stereotypes of bamboo, and then the joinery systems, et cetera, et cetera. And we'll see how far we can get with today's talk about the structural aspects of bamboo and how we as Westerners are able to use bamboo, because I believe that it is one of the greenest, if not the greenest, materials on the planet Earth. It is the greenest because, and not only that, it is so beautiful in its natural form. So bamboo is not a tree. It is a giant grass, and it is also called vegetable steel. Some species grow in about 4 feet in one day. The amazing growth characteristics of this is that you can practically watch it grow. And I was thinking of another type of plant, which is kelp. And kelp grows about 0.5 meter a day, whereas bamboo grows about 1 meter a day, the fastest growing bamboo. So I thought, well, how did it compare with other plants? So bamboo is by far one of the fastest, or the fastest growing plants on the planet Earth. And I believe that God has created such a beautiful plant for us, a beautiful grass for us to use as a construction material and many, many other things, because we can make about 5,000 different things from bamboo. And bamboo has about 1,500 different species. So any type of one scenario or one assumption of bamboo will be tossed out the door, because there's so many different types of bamboo out there. Bamboo, and its as a building material, is 50 times stronger than oak, but lighter than steel or concrete. It is extremely flexible and very aesthetically pleasing, and it's highly rated for its green credentials. Now, every week I do get additional information, and one of the latest pieces of information that I got about bamboo is, especially for structural bamboo, is that there currently is no structural bamboo being manufactured in the United States. And most of it is actually being manufactured in China. The problem with that is that when you purchase something from China and then it gets shipped over here via whatever shipping means and it's using oil to get here, then it becomes less of a green building material. Because one of the factors of having a green, making a material green, is that it should be used somewhere from local sources, so the transportation cost is lower. So that is one of the factors. So you can see how these bamboo in and of itself is very green, environmentally friendly. However, you need to take in point of fact all of the other things, such as the treatment of it and the transportation. Now, what I said was that bamboo has 5,000 uses and it has 1,500 varieties. And it's much, it's 5 times stronger than concrete. And it can be easily constructed. It's very popular around most of the developing world, in Africa, in Southeast Asia, and in Latin America. And it's yet to be totally popular in the United States except for flooring material. And I applaud people who do use bamboo flooring. That is very important in understanding how bamboo works and how it can be used in everyday lives without looking like a tiki hut. And that's one of the misconceptions that we have about bamboo. We think that we don't want to use it because it's going to look too much of a Polynesian getaway or something. But fortunately, there are designs out there that have used bamboo in a way that is very innovative. And it's very adaptable to our Western ways, and that we can still use bamboo in different ways to replace how we use wood and still keep the architectural heritage or integrity of our buildings. So it doesn't have to look like a tiki hut. If we're living in a colonial house or in a colonial neighborhood, we can still integrate the materials of bamboo and have it replace typical use of wood. So that is the exciting part, that bamboo can be used from a very primitive way to a very high-tech way. That's the exciting part about it. The neat part about what we're talking about now is that this is really a topic that is still at the ground floor level. It's still being developed. Integration with existing materials is still in its very infancy stage. And I believe that it can be used in conjunction with other materials quite well. That includes other woods, using it in conjunction as composite materials with metal, using it with concrete, which if you think about all these different materials, to be able to harness those materials in a way that emphasizes its strength. And bamboo can be integrated with all that. However, currently, or a typical stereotype is that we think of bamboo being lashed and that it's usually looking dingy. However, it doesn't have to look that way. It can be preserved and it can be used on a long-term basis and integrated with our Western society. And so the harvesting of bamboo, how it works, is quite fascinating, because let's talk about how it compares with regular timber. Let's do that. Now, timber takes about 60 years. Hardwood takes about 60 years to regrow again. So if you cut off, you cut down a tree, it takes 60 years to regenerate hardwood. For softwoods, it takes 10 to 20 years to regenerate, to grow back again. Now, bamboo takes only 3 to 5 years. So when you think about the replenishment rate, is so much faster with bamboo. And the thing with bamboo is when you cut it, it grows back again immediately. So it's totally different from regular timber. That also is very important for the economy, because what happens with regular timber industries is when the trees are clear cut, the company or the workers go somewhere else. With bamboo, it's not the same way. You selectively cut certain pieces of bamboo, and then that happens all year round, all the time. So the people who work there stay there, and the economy is much more stable than in a regular timber industry. One of the downsides of that, when we talk about the harvesting of bamboo, is that bamboo then becomes rather labor intensive. And in America, right now, labor is cost more than, say, labor in China. And so those are some of the economic factors that we need to consider when we're talking about purchasing the bamboo and using bamboo forests and managing bamboo and the industry. Those are the very basis of how bamboo is being able to be accessed, is because labor is a big part of how the industry works. And I think it's wonderful that we can use that it's labor intensive, because bamboo is just has a very appealing characteristic, such as wood, because each piece of wood is different. Each piece of bamboo is very different in its natural state. And so it's very exciting to handle the bamboo and to admire its beauty. So when you think about bamboo and wood, a typical bamboo house requires just its own square footage harvested from a typical bamboo grove. Within 3 to 4 years, the bamboo grove patch replaces itself, ready for another house. In contrast, it takes 1 acre to build a standard American house with typical lumber. So the environmental impact is very significant. So when you compare that with regular timber, regular wood, a wood house takes many more resources. It takes about 1 acre of wood to build that same house. And then it takes about 60 years for that wood to generate, versus if you use bamboo, it takes only the square footage of its own house, and then it takes 5 to 6 years to regenerate the bamboo. So again, it takes 1 acre of trees to build a typical home, or 1 acre the size of a house itself to build with bamboo. And so when you build with bamboo, you basically save a forest. So next we're going to be talking about harvesting bamboo. So I will be back. I'm Emmy Louie. You're listening to The Emmy Louie Show, and we'll be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie. We're talking about the untapped uses of bamboo in the Western world, and we are resuming back with harvesting of bamboo. Remember what I was saying? It takes about 5 years to generate bamboo for construction material. And with the harvesting, this is how it works. When you grow a bamboo shoot, in 30 days, the bamboo sprouts can become food. From 6 months to 1 year, the bamboo can be used for baskets and woven goods. A 2-year-old bamboo can be split and the strips are woven. And after 3 to 5 years, it becomes building material. But however, after 6 years, the canes become less sturdy. So basically, it's important to harvest the bamboo after 5 years. One of the things that you might be thinking about with bamboo is that you're thinking, well, maybe this bamboo is not the type that I want to see, or it's the type that I see in around my yard, and that bamboo can be perceived as a weed. Now remember, there are 1,500 types of species of bamboo, and there's basically 2 types of bamboo. The one that you might be thinking of that's a weed, quote unquote, generally is a runner. So there's runners and there's clumpers of bamboo. A running bamboo, basically, it keeps on growing horizontally under the ground. And what it's also similar to, if you think about it like liriope grass, where the rhizomes, they just shoot to the side. And when you pull one of the liriope grasses, it connects to a whole bunch of liriope grasses maybe 5 or 6 feet away. And so the running bamboo is very different from the clumping bamboo, which basically remains in its area when it's planted. So you really got to think about that as far as the different types of bamboo. So when people say, oh, well, I don't really want to plant any bamboo because it can go crazy. Well, it depends on what type. And so you really got to do your homework and look at if it's a running bamboo or if it's a clumping bamboo. The tropical bamboos that grow in the tropical regions tend to be clumpers, and the temperate bamboos tend to be runners, although I have seen exceptions. And so that is the 2 types of bamboos that we want to concern ourselves with. Now, the growth qualities of bamboo are extremely just out of this world, really. You wouldn't think that something like this actually exists on this earth, but it really does. It's the quickest growing plant in the world. It grows 30% more quickly than the fastest growing tree. Some of the varieties grow more than 1 meter a day. Some of the bamboo can grow as short as 1 foot, and some of them, the guadua, can grow more than 120 feet tall and have a 12-inch diameter. The canes can exceed 10-story buildings. Again, because it has an underground root system, when you are harvesting the bamboo, you're just basically cutting off the top part of it. And the rhizomes, the roots underneath the soil basically is undisturbed, and it will grow again. Whereas in a timber forest, when you fell a tree, it requires intensive reforestation. So those are the growth qualities of bamboo. And of course, many of the uses, there's just 5,000 uses of bamboo. And let me tell you a summary of some of the uses for bamboo. It can be used for structural support, rebar and concrete, paneling, floor tile, furniture, bridges, scaffolding. It is used for water and soil conservation. It provides the world's finest tissue and writing paper. It's used for furniture, weapons, writing and musical instruments, fuel, food, and medical products. The amazing part about bamboo is that it was so hardy. It is said that after the Hiroshima bomb, 1945, everything was wiped out except a stalk of bamboo. So you got to think about how hardy it is. So it's really important that you're able to know what you're doing as far as planting bamboo, because it is a very hardy species. The neat part about bamboo also, when I was saying about the types of uses, is that it cleans the soil and the air. So it restores the nutrients and the depleted soil and degraded watersheds. It sequesters up to 30% more atmospheric carbon than comparable-sized hardwood forests. The bamboo grows fertilizer-free, but planted in damaged soil, it absorbs pollutants and prevents erosion. The bamboo absorbs two-thirds more carbon from the atmosphere than any other plant and releases two-thirds more oxygen, producing superoxygenated pure air with perfectly balanced humidity. So one way, if you live in a place that has high pollution, a great way to balance that out is to grow some bamboo. It will work wonders for the air quality, as well as it's beautiful to look at, and it can do so many things. It can offer you as a hedge between your neighbors and or some other element, and offer a sound barrier, and it can create privacy. So it can be used so many things, and people think that bamboo is only for flooring material. That is further from the truth, where you can use it for almost really anything. So again, the bamboo releases 30% more oxygen into the air than a traditional forest, and when planted on a massive scale, it may aid in the reversal of global warming. It feeds the topsoil and keeps twice as much water in the ground as hardwoods due to large mass of roots. So it also absorbs four times as much worldwide warming carbon dioxide. So that is the summary of how it cleans the air. Now, let's talk about the treatment of bamboo. I would like to talk about that, because people usually ask about how does it get treated, or not treated for that matter, because in its very raw form, if you build from bamboo and you don't treat it, it can only last about 2 to 3 years. Now, if you do treat it, it can basically last forever. I mean, there are buildings in Kyoto, Japan, that are made of bamboo that are over hundreds, if not thousands, of years old. And so we think of that bamboo is not permanent. That can be further from the truth. One of the things that is very important when we talk about the degradation of materials, there are two things when you think about it, is that the sun and the rain will highly damage any kind of building material. In my house, I have a screen porch, and I have an uncovered deck. And basically, the uncovered deck takes about 3 times more work to maintain than the screen porch, because the screen porch, it has a roof over it, and then the sun beats on the roof, but it doesn't beat on the covered porch, and then the rain doesn't get to it, whereas on the deck, the rain hits it and the sun hits it. So basically, in a lot of ways, if we think about the sun and the rain, it's really nature's way of recycling materials. And so when you think of bamboo, if you keep it in the sun and in the rain, chances are it's not going to last as long. And so the easiest way to preserve a material, if that is what you wish, is to keep away from the sun and the rain. However, there are some of us who believe that buildings may not need to last that long, contrary to what Vitruvius, the architect, says about the permanence of buildings, and that buildings are meant to only last a certain period, and then you rebuild again. I can think of when I went to Taos, New Mexico, where every few years or every 5 years, where the buildings get replastered again. So there's really 2 schools of thought in regards to how we treat building materials. Are building materials supposed to last indefinitely? Should it last 5 years? Should it last 50 years? And maybe that doesn't matter as much as long as it's recyclable, meaning that does the material act like how it would in nature? Do you have to, after you use it, after its useful life, does it just go to a landfill, or does it just go back into the earth and become part of the earth again? So the recycling part is something that we all think about when we use anything. It's something to think about as far as the life cycle of a building material. So often when we build something, we only think about its finished end, meaning that when will be the day that I move in. But when you think about it, after you move in, that is really the beginning of all of the things that you need to deal with. And that the building will probably outlive your life. So you got to think about the whole life of really the building versus yourself, and how it's that building material, how it impacts the earth and the people that will be living under its roof after you will be. And so let's take a little break, and we'll talk about the treatment of bamboo. We'll be back. Now, the treatment of bamboo, I am Emmy Louie. We're back and talking about the treatment, because that's going to make the difference between your bamboo lasting 2 years versus lasting 50 years, or for however long you want to have it last. There are basically 3 ways to treat bamboo. One is a borate solution, where it gets soaked in a borate solution. Another one is the smoking of bamboo. And then a third one is burying the bamboo in sand for 2 months. I found this really neat website about the treatment of bamboo by soaking it in a boric acid solution. Because one of the problems with having bamboo last is that it gets damaged by insects and fungus. And so by treating it, you highly reduce the flammability of the bamboo canes, And in fact, with one of my interviews with Leymana Pelton, is that he said with treating the bamboo with boric acid solution, you can actually put out a fire with a treated bamboo. So that's how strong or basically flame resistant the bamboo can be when it's treated. And then the between each node, the horizontal piece between the bamboo canes, there's a hole that gets punched, and the whole bamboo cane gets soaked in the boric acid solution. Now, another way that the bamboo gets preserved is by getting it smoked. In the 16th century Japan, the bamboo was protected by basically it being, by having it smoked, because the heating, by cooking under the bamboo, the heat of it would basically seal in the bamboo and keep it protected. And then the last way is to bury the bamboo in sand. So that is a very neat way to preserve the bamboo, and there is extensive information on a particular website. It's called www.bambooliving.com, and I've had the pleasure of interviewing bambooliving.com as well as interview them and another architect who is basically responsible for having the building materials or building code passed to permit a type of species of bamboo to be able to be used as a structural element in the United States. Now, a lot of these things I'm saying is that bamboo is being used around the world, and it's being used a lot around the world and not that much in the United States. And there are many reasons for that. Before, it was basically because of the legal parts of it, that no matter how neat the material is, if it's not permitted legally, then you pretty much can't use it as a structural material. However, in 2004, the building codes did permit that bamboo could be used as a structural material. So that was definitely a big milestone in the use of bamboo. Still yet, that is a milestone. We are still at the very beginning stages of it being used massively in the United States. There are many issues regarding why we don't use it. There are many challenges of that, and one of the things is that currently, there is no place where you can get structural bamboo in the United States. So there's many challenges on that part. And then, because there's 1,500 species around the world, there are certain species that are being used for structural bamboo, and there are about 20 species. Guadua, which is one of the species, is a very strong, one of the most easiest used bamboo for structural purposes. The guadua can range from 8 inches to 12 inches in diameter and grows very tall. One of the neat parts about the guadua is that you don't need to drive any screw holes in it. You can just drive a nail and it will work just fine. And so, going back to the challenges of the kind of bamboo that's being used in the United States, is that we got to basically do a lot of groundwork to look at how different species work for the structural purposes. So there needs to be intensive treating, testing of the structural bamboo and the different species, because each different, the species are different, they grow differently. And of course, even the same species grows differently in different areas, because in the warmer areas, the species of bamboo grows much faster and it grows bigger than if it was in a temperate area where there is more of a colder climate. Still yet, I believe that bamboo can replace wood and still preserve the architectural heritage of an area. The bamboo needs to be treated and then strengthened. Structural bamboo still needs to be, there needs to be an industry where it's grown in the United States, or there's easier supply lines, because then it makes the material much greener than if it was being shipped across from overseas, because shipping makes a material less eco-friendly. And then there's also some of the possibilities of bamboo is that there, bamboo can, and this sounds rather different, is that it can be grown square. So there's more, and so instead of it being round, it can be, you can put some pieces of flattened material and have it grown square. So there's a lot of things that we can do with bamboo. Many things. Now the tensile strength is just something to be, to think about. And if you gotta think about it in this way, it has to do with, compare that, just compare in your mind a 2x4. Just compare the differences. Now, with a bamboo cane, a thin bamboo cane, it is much more strong tensile-wise, tensile strength-wise, than something, say, like a 2x4. And that same bamboo cane can stretch a longer distance. And that's why these canes are used so much in Southeast Asia to hang clothes, because they're able, because there's just a natural fiber in the bamboo that creates that tensile strength that is not in regular timber. And the strength of bamboo, if you think about it, it is not solid. It is hollow. It's very similar, as strikingly very similar attributes to our arm, basically our bones. Our bones have the same thing. If we look at a bone is empty in the middle, just like a bamboo cane is empty in the middle. Of course, our bones have marrow in them. But if you think about the bone itself, it's strong on the edges, just like a piece of bamboo cane, and then it's strengthened at the nodes, and just like at our joints, it's strengthened at the nodes. So it's almost like the bamboo is mimicking our bones, or the bones are mimicking the bamboo, and that there is a natural phenomenon with how nature works. And if you look at the bamboo, it has a very waxy surface. It almost looks fake. And this is a natural surface that when you grow it, that's all, you don't even have to polish it. It's almost pre-polished. It grows that way. Now, if you take wood, it would go through so many different planing and milling, and then you gotta polish it, and then you have to put stain on it, and then you put stain on it again later on, maybe several coats. And you don't have to do that with bamboo in its natural state. It's already shiny while it's growing. and it's already very strong. So the beauty of it and the structural properties of it just are totally outstanding. One of the additional structural properties about it is that it has to do with its earthquake resistance. Bamboo faces better seismic resistance than other materials. And during earthquakes, it incurs very little damage. That's the neat part about it. So we will talk about, let's talk about how we are going to transition into using more bamboo, or why we're not doing that. And I am Emmy Louie, and we will be back. Welcome back. I am Emmy Louie, and I wanted to talk to you about sustainability and how bamboo fits into sustainability mode and what sustainability means. It's a very talked about subject right now, and we all want to be sustainable. One of the definitions, or the main definition of sustainability or sustainable development, is that it's development that meets the needs of a current generation without undermining the ability of future generations to meet their needs. Right now, there's currently alarming statistics with the current use of natural resources. And the way we use things right now is alarming because according to some statistics on deforestation, 1 million of acres of forest disappear each week worldwide. Its alarming rate is forcing many world economies to rethink their businesses and manufacturing practices. In point of fact, we basically cannot make enough of the stuff that we use. And when we look at the different components, which include pollution, global warming, increasing population, climate change, all of those things, bamboo, I believe, is basically one of the biggest answers because of the rate of growth of the material that is able to replenish even if we are to continue our current consumption rate. And that we must be able to use the bamboo in every which way that we can to meet our consumption rates. And basically, even if we don't want to, we'll basically be pushed to do that because of the high rates of everything else, because things are getting expensive, which include the rates of transportation, including the high cost of food, and bamboo will be a natural material, which it already is, that companies are using. However, what I encourage all of us to do is to take many steps forward and to use it practically in every part of our lives, and that we don't hold back just because we think it's a low-class material. Sustainable development was initially mentioned in the 1992 Earth Summit. And Maurice Strong, the Secretary General at the Rio UN Conference, said that development and environment are inextricably linked and must be nourished by change in the means, the contents, and the use of growth. The problems with sustainable development, not the problems with, but the problems with our current development, is that we misuse are non-renewable resources. And I believe that with our current problems with oil consumption, that we use oil only for things that need to be used for oil, and that all the other things that we use in a very wasteful manner needs to be either curbed, or we need to reinvent the way we use or not use something, or use a different type of material. So the problem is the misuse of non-renewable resources. The second is the rate of the energy consumption. And the third is the polluting emissions and industrial waste, which are too toxic and it's not recyclable. So the indifference to this consequence of modernity, whatever the cost, is basically a civic and professional irresponsibility. There are so many ways that we can all do our part in creating a sustainable society. And I think it's really neat that there are so many different ways. Whether it's something where, depending on, you know, what you consume, or it could be something in the public sector and doing some environmental or nonprofit work. Or it could be you and I just spreading the word. There's just so many ways that we can do this. And before we know it, things will be done. And so in conjunction with sustainable development, there's a new group of people called the eco-builders, which basically, they're based on two concepts. The concept of using recyclable materials, and using natural materials without requiring industrial processing. And this is something that I think about all the time, because when we look at the embodied energy of certain materials, it takes more energy to make, for example, steel than it takes to make bamboo. It just takes more energy. And there's more industrial pollution as a result of making steel than making bamboo. So in you would naturally want to use more steel and more bamboo and minimize the use of the steel only when you need to use it, instead of going full force and use it almost all the time. So what you want to do as an eco-builder is to reduce steel, cement, aluminum, synthetic products, and reinforced concrete, and increase the use of bamboo and other green materials, such as the rammed earth, adobe, straw bale, and all the other different materials that relate to green building. So that is my talk for the day. And basically, we went over what bamboo is, how it gets harvested, or at what times you get to harvest it to use whatever that you need to use for a particular building material, whether it's furniture or using it for baskets or for structural purposes. How bamboo compares with timber, regular wood. Its growth qualities, which is basically out of this world, and it grows much even faster than let's say kelp. And how bamboo is used for so many different things, how it cleans the air, how it gets treated, and how the material properties are just so amazing. And that we also talked about one of the problems about bamboo and why it's not being used as much in the United States, and that there are people that are using it, that it does not have to be looking like a tiki hut, although if you want it to look like that. And so it's important that you be able to use the bamboo to a way that you feel that is comfortable for you, for your lifestyle, and how it looks at the same time by preserving the architectural heritage of your own community. And that basically bamboo is one of them, the answers, or it's the answer to using a material that promotes a sustainable world for us. And that is really important. And whether we maybe we'll be making this decision or not, we're going to probably have to make this decision based on the rates of consumption and all of the other things that are happening in this world. So thank you for listening to me. I am Emmy Louie, and that is my topic for today, which is the untapped uses of bamboo in the Western world. I'll see you next time. Namaste.